Chapter 58. It was 20 minutes to midnight when Jen called and woke Jesse up. "I just did the 11 o'clock news," Jen said. "Did I wake you?" "No," Jesse said. "I was awake." "Your voice sounds like you were sleeping," Jen said. "I'm awake," Jesse said. "I wanted to apologize," Jen said. "Okay. You were sleeping. And you called to apologize for waking me?" "No, silly, for the other day when I wanted you to give me special access, which is more than I get," Jesse said. "I know," Jen said. "But what was so bad about it was, here you are with this huge serial killer problem to deal with, and I'm thinking only about what would be best for me." "What's new?" Jesse said. Jen was silent for a moment. "Well," she said, "you are grouchy." "I am," Jesse said. "It's okay," Jen said. "You deserve to be." "Thanks. What I want you to know is that I realize I was thinking only about myself and my career when I asked you to let me in with the camera." Jesse was silent. "And I realize that I have often been that way with you." "I know," Jesse said. "You're not going to help me with this," Jen said, "are you?" "You're doing fine by yourself," Jesse said. "I'm going to try to be better," Jen said. Jesse waited. "It's a hard balancing," Jen said. "If I go the other way too far, I give myself away. I become entirely dependent on someone else to direct my likes and dislikes, what I want to do, what I should do, you know?" "Yes," Jesse said. "And after a while, I resent it. And then the resentment builds, and after a while, I explode and go the whole other way. Instead of being all about you, it becomes all about me." "It'd be nice if you could find a middle ground," Jesse said. "Yes," Jen said. Jesse was lying on his back in the dark with the phone hunched in his left shoulder. His handgun was on the night table beside the bed. There was no sound in the apartment. "Maybe I can," Jen said. "We both have changes to make," Jesse said. "I wonder who we'll be when we've made them," Jen said. "Whoever we are," Jesse said, "we won't be worse." "I can't seem to get you out of my life," Jen said. "I know," Jesse said. "Can you wait," Jen said, "until I get better?" "I have so far," Jesse said. "But will you still?" "I don't know, Jen. Try not to plan too far ahead. I don't want a life without you in it." "It's not entirely up to you, Jen." Jen was quiet for a time. The bedroom was in the back of the apartment, away from the harbor. It was a dim hint of light from the street, made a little brighter by the snow cover. "Is there anyone else?" Jen said. "Not yet," Jesse said. "But there might be." "Jen," Jesse said, "my life would be far less complicated if I could be happy without you." "I know," she said. "But so far," Jesse said, "I can't." They were both quiet, still connected by the phone line, with nothing else much to say. The silence extended. "The pressure about those serial murders must be awful." "Everyone feels it would be good to catch them," Jesse said. "Including you," Jen said. "That's where the most pressure is." Jesse didn't comment. "And you have to carry it alone." "Not entirely," Jesse said. "I wish I could help you," Jen said. "Be good if you could," Jesse said. Again, they allowed the silence to settle. "I'm sorry," Jen said. "I know." "I'm working on it," she said. "I am too." "I know." It was more connective silence. "We'll get there," Jen said finally. "We'll get somewhere," Jesse said.